Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hanfler from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of SmackDown on Fox. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw and SmackDown, but also the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT. Pay-per-views, where we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, they're joined by a handful. Let's look ahead to SmackDown tonight. An exciting show on the cards after a really enjoyable one last week.
Yeah, that feels like a pattern of our discussions of the, you know, the SmackDowns of late. Everything's felt like it's been an upturn since Roman Reigns returned. Everything's been handled pretty brilliantly with Sasha and Bayley. So like the top of both men's and women's divisions are looking good. And typically that has a knock-on effect on the rest of the rosters. Survivor Series stands to kind of put a bit of an axe in that because they're going to have to do what they've been doing on Raw, which is have all the feuds become sub-feuds while we talk about what colour shirt we're wearing. But there feels like enough on this one at least that we might get one more week before we're completely dropped into that brand supremacy tar pit.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Sasha and Bayley there, of course. Sasha winning the SmackDown Women's Championship at Hell in a Cell. How do you feel about them going so quickly back to this feud in terms of a title match? And how do you see the SmackDown versus Bayley championship match tonight going?
Pretty well, actually. As in how I feel about it going back to television this quick. I don't think the Survivor Series is an opportune time to be trying to run this back when they would love doing their Raw versus SmackDown stuff. I do wonder if Bayley might be considered a bit of a favourite to win the Royal Rumble next year, assuming that Sasha is still champion. They'll probably want to get a different opponent for Sasha for tables, lads and chairs. So this might not blow it off forever, but it blows it off for now. It's a great story as well. It's not just a television rematch. It's something that WWE have completely backdoored into. Sasha can't defend. Sasha can win, but she can't defend, has now become the story off the back of Sasha couldn't win. It's all about her like knocking down curse after curse, demon after demon. She's snapping streaks all over the shop. And she's got to do one last one tonight by beating Bayley. This one, in a way, feels as potentially as powerful as the win she had at Hell in a Cell. The match may not live up to that standard, but I'm sure they will absolutely do their best. Obviously, how much time they're allowed is the difference here. But let's be honest, there's only really two ways that SmackDown can be the best wrestling show this weekend. Number one, it's only going to be 2 hours, and that's guaranteed. Number two is, in terms of women's matches, it's probably going to outstrip the pay-per-view competition on Saturday. This is an opportunity for the wrestlers and the brand to show up and show out. I expect this, I hope this, to be one of the best television matches of the year, something that we'll be talking about in the same lofty tones as we did Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. And yeah, they can afford to do, they can actually deliver a conclusive finish here, and it serves the story. Sasha beating Bayley really, really matters. It's a huge, huge monkey off Sasha's back, if indeed she can shake it off. My word, the teasers that she can't should be quite dramatic.
Yeah, normally when you see these sorts of things, when they just go, oh, title rematch, this isn't the show after the pay-per-view, but in and around the pay-per-view, it's like, okay, a spirited challenge from either the babyface or the heel who just lost the title, but then we can move on. How much would it shock you if Bayley regained the title tonight?
I mean, it'd be ballsy, to say the least. It would be a gamble in the sense that you've gone a long, long way to re-establishing Sasha Banks as a babyface over 2020. All of that has been wrapped up in the feud with Bayley herself. But in doing so, you've kind of recaptured maybe some of the credibility that people felt lost in the boss for the longest time. And solidifying that is winning tonight. We've often talked about these two specifically as being ones that have been able to get through the worst of times. I love them both. I loved Bayley's last title run, but Bayley beating Sasha tonight feels like the potential narrative worst of times. Bayley would, of course, go on to be absolutely fine, but I dread to think where Sasha's character lies if she loses here.
My only thinking behind that is, like you say, it continues the story, and you know, you can then potentially use that as another element of the story. If we say this is getting to WrestleMania, there's an easy way of doing it with shenanigans if Bayley gets in another heavy to help her out, for example. So I wouldn't be too upset if it happened, but I agree for the most part that I think it probably would be a backward step. But it's also, with Survivor Series around the corner, it's also a way of going, well, making things a lot easier for the fans when it comes to the champion versus champion women's match, especially because we you know, I know we've seen Bayley get involved with Asuka as well, but we saw a lot of Asuka and Sasha Banks is all I'm thinking.
It's true. It's true. And WWE haven't been scared to switch up a title, rather shockingly, before to change a Survivor Series match they don't like the look of. Twice in 2 years they did it with the WWE Championship, of course, with Jinder and AJ, and then AJ and Bryan. So there is precedent for this. I'm the biggest fan in the world of these two. And, you know, as a supporter of both, I've seen them through worse than, let's say, Bayley winning the title tonight. However, the Hell in a Cell match was so good, so profoundly brilliant, and so much better than Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Dave Meltzer. Sorry, it was.
Yes.
I'm not letting go of a WrestleMania dream. I'm kind of happy to see it disappear. That was a spectacular pro wrestling payoff. This is the postscript, the prologue to the Hell in a Cell match. And that's all it needs to be. I would love to see these two come together again one day, but maybe it is time for that split. Maybe it is time for that severance. It appears that they're going to keep them both on the same brand. That's maybe something you could revisit. Possibly you do a loser leave SmackDown if you insist on running it back at TLC.
Or the Royal Rumble in an Iron Woman match.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. You've got me on board. You son of a bitch. I'm in. All right. We'll go to January. But no, in all seriousness, in terms of WrestleMania, we'd all love to see it. It's a guaranteed banger. But I'm very, very happy with what I've had. And I wouldn't be disappointed if they decided to try and take both in a different direction.
Exactly, yeah. If they said, I'm sorry, you're not getting Bayley versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. Instead, you're getting Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Totally fine with that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly that. And again, Bayley wouldn't be short of opponents. They wouldn't be short of things for this women's division to do on a card that traditionally is massive anyway.
One of the big things coming out of last week's SmackDown was, of course, Jey Uso's heel turn, siding with the Tribal Chief, destroying Daniel Bryan. What do you reckon the fallout of that is going to be tonight? Because I didn't think I could love Roman Reigns anymore, but his little smirk as he left his cousin destroying, I mean, an already destroyed Daniel Bryan as the show went off the air was just magnificent.
Yeah, I got mixed feelings on this. I love the concept. And the execution was really, as you say, really violent and really evocative and really powerful. And Roman's performance, it was tremendous. I kind of wish they'd been a little bit more elegant with it. Would it have not been a bit of a cleaner presentation maybe for Jey Uso to have lost the match and for then him to realise, hang on, I need all this stuff that Roman's telling me I have to have. I might hate him for it, but God damn it, he's right. And that to be what triggered him snapping, rather than him getting it done off his own steam and then just thinking, well, I've got to do what I'm told because I lost that match and the boss says so. I loved the show opening promo.
Yeah.
Like, I hate you. And then he strokes his face. I love you. Yeah. I know this melodrama isn't for everyone, but it's definitely for me. I think Roman Reigns is doing a magnificent job with this daft Saturday weekend amateur dramatics play stuff. I'm really, really all in on it. So I'll give this angle plenty of breathing room. And I would expect tonight, all they really need to do is have Jey Uso again go violent on somebody else. A kind of a repeat of what we've had with Daniel Bryan. And then as the SmackDown Survivor Series team forms in the background, there becomes this increased nervousness of teaming with Jey Uso because he's got Roman Reigns dust on him. Like, I wouldn't want to be in Roman Reigns' immediate orbit at this point. And what they want to try and establish is people feeling the same way about Jey Uso. Jey Uso is probably going to get, the violence is going to escalate. Jimmy might return and try and talk some sense into him. And then we have that big moment of if Jimmy joins or Jimmy and Jey are torn apart by this. And then you kind of go all in on this heel bloodline that people have been very excited about for a long time. The violence will escalate until more people understand just who the tribal chief is. There you go.
And plus, I'm inclined to agree with you about the whole putting Daniel Bryan on the Survivor Series team because it's Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series. Mm. But if this is a longer term plan, let's say for a Daniel Bryan return post Survivor Series to set up, I mean, I know we literally got it last week, but it'd be very different if it was in the realms of TLC, a Jey Uso versus Daniel Bryan match to qualify Bryan to face the tribal chief at the Royal Rumble. I'm all here for that. I'm getting very carried away with my fantasy booking today, I realise.
That's because you were invested in the product. Fantasy booking shouldn't always be laughed at or mocked because it tends to result from investment in something, and Raw is nearly impossible to fantasy book. SmackDown has made it so that you actually can. That's something to toast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One person it seems nearly impossible to fantasy book is Carmella. She's been teased for a long, long time. She is due to return to SmackDown this week. I don't know, glass of champagne in hand, perhaps. What do you see them doing with her?
Right, I'm excited for this. Because I really like Carmella. Vastly, I never thought she was too bad to begin with, but vastly improved over time as an in-ring wrestler. Just like oodles of charisma, super confident. Have no doubt that she'll get over whatever it is they're trying to get across with this character. But I have my concerns. Whatever it is they're attempting is stuff that we have seen before. What we have now in the women's division is so many more women's wrestlers that we have less characters that are closer to the divas of old. And every now and then you can bring one in because that's different now. That's the exception rather than the rule. So having a diva adjacent, and the best thing about the divas now is that when they put on the wrestling gear, they can work far better than most of the divas ever could. You know, they were in an unfair position of being asked to bump when they were brought in via a modelling contest. Carmella is very different. She can do both. However, we've seen with the likes of the original Lana character, other than the amazing music, with the original incarnation of the Eva Marie character, who unfortunately never made it to television and as of this recording is yet to make it back to WWE, and even stuff like the Emelina reinvention.
Ugh.
That things go a bit weird with these characters. Things go a bit odd with them. I've got a lot of faith in Carmella to be able to pull off whatever these vignettes are suggesting she is. It's like a high roller, somebody that now feels maybe a bit above like WWE. I love that line a few weeks ago before she been reintroduced to television, where was it Paul Heyman said something like, and that guy who goes wherever his girlfriend works, or something like that. Like, you put the high status in the Corey Graves Carmella relationship on Carmella rather than Corey Graves. I really appreciated that. That sort of felt like a slow introduction to this character. She's going to be incredibly high status. She's presumably going to be a heel, which is probably good because I think this heel side needs shoring up. Sasha Banks is going to need heel challenges. So yeah, I've got high hopes, but a slight worry that they've done this before and they've done it wrong.
Could this be a way to bring someone like Eva Marie back? The rumours were swirling a while back, of course, and to align herself with this new Carmella character could be the perfect way to do it whilst also hiding her in-ring ability, although we don't know how much that may have changed over the last few years.
Yeah, it's tricky with that particular gimmick because you are suggesting that you are so high class that you are exclusive. And then when there's two of you, it's a bit like, oh, I'm not that exclusive anymore. I've got somebody right next to it. It's the same. But in terms of like a practical and pragmatic approach to bringing back Eva Marie, potentially great. It's easy to then establish the things that they might have in common with one another or the friendship they developed, or using Carmella as the person saying, and I've not just come alone. There's somebody else I've found in high society. I think you're going to love her. Here she is. That's actually a pretty neat way to introduce her, as you say. So maybe I just don't think that would be the short-term best solution for them trying to get a brand spanking new character over in Carmella. I would expect her to be heavily involved in the Survivor Series because it's a great way to bring somebody back.
Yeah, that brings me on to my next question, actually, about the Survivor Series team. All we know in terms of the women's team is Bianca Belair is in there and Billie Kay isn't. who is going to join her? Because it's slim pickings in the SmackDown Women's Division. Although I suppose you can include Bayley in this if you accept that she's not the champion anymore.
Yeah, I would expect Bayley to join the team if and when she loses, in much the same way they're kind of dragging out Drew's inevitable membership on Team Raw at present. Seems daft to not have these ex-long-standing champions on the teams.
Lovely callback as well you could have in the match to Shayna and Bayley last year, of course.
That's right, yeah, of course. Yeah, kind of how the mighty have fallen a little bit, I guess. The roster it is slim pickings, and yet if you look at the best of what they've got, it's not actually a bad team. So Bianca Belair is already feeling like a big deal on SmackDown, so she should be the captain or the leader, or even in a bit of a squabble for who really runs this team with Bayley. There's some, you know, tremendous stuff they could do with that, and a few springing off the back of it. As we discovered to our surprise, let's pull back the curtain a little bit. The writer squad are drafted. Forgot all about that because we've seen them contesting for the tag titles on Raw. The writer squad are drafted, so they seem naturals to go to that team. And then you have this new Carmella, and there's potentially your five. It was Natalia and Bayley Kay that lost the first qualifier. That's not to say they couldn't get back in. You could also run a series of qualifying matches, and then WWE love that. Four qualifiers and a last chance. So we could see a combination of these wrestlers fight one another and then have one get in at the very end through that, through a battle royal or something like that. There's enough at least to cobble together these matches if you want to fill some TV time with them.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the roster. Outside of the names you gave there, I mean, you got what? Zelina Vega, Tamina. Mickie James. I'd love to see
Mickie James. Okay. Yeah, it's not a bad run-up of people if you want to do qualifiers instead. But there appears to be a more obvious five than some of the... Zelina Vega's great, actually. Maybe Zelina Vega should be under consideration as well.
Just looking around going, maybe, I don't know, maybe Sarah Schreiber wants some child. Aside from that, it's very, very difficult. And then also, I can easily see someone like Bayley just being like, sorry, I'm Bayley. I don't do qualifying matches. I don't even know, but I was champion for over a year, so I won't be qualifying. And that does make sense, to be fair. If you're Adam Pearce, who's, I think, GM of SmackDown and Monday Night Raw.
He did that weird thing where he was like, Braun, we'd love you for Team Raw. And it's like, we? Who's we? Are you going to be there on Friday? Maybe Pat Buck. Oh, God. Maybe Pat Buck will be assembling the teams tonight on SmackDown. And they're going to just, like, have them backstage at the pay-per-view being like, my red guy. Like, he's going to wear a red tie and Pat Buck's going to wear a blue tie. I'm sick of these colours contesting each other this week. The last thing I need is a reminder on my wrestling show.
On the men's side of things for Survivor Series, of course, we mentioned Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, three other spots up for grabs. Unless looking at that, the team for Raw, they kind of have to win, don't they? Raw, that AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and one more. You almost think, all right, Raw gets that one. SmackDown probably gets the women's 5-on-5. But so it's putting people, I suppose, in that SmackDown team who can eat a loss, maybe. Jey Uso, I don't know. Kevin Owens can eat a loss. Kevin Owens is mint and can recover from almost anything. But yeah, it's striking that balance. Like, you could put, I don't know, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura in that team, or you could go in a different direction with the returning Chad Gable, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd love to see Chad Gable make the team. He was one of the shouts I had. One of Chad Gable's long-term opponents slash associates. Feels like King Corbin can eat a pin. So he feels like a natural. And I would also suggest maybe Otis. Otis has got absolutely nothing going on. And if they want to tell us that he's got more going on than his ex-partner appeared to on Raw on Monday, Jesus Christ, at least announcing him for a pay-per-view or giving him the opportunity to qualify for a pay-per-view might give you a sense that they've not completely just sold them both out, Heavy Machinery, given up on the act, destroyed their careers. It's a, like, I'm not overstating this. Tonight is a big night for Otis, and that's even if he doesn't appear. If that's what is happening with Tucker on Raw, and then Otis is either doing nothing or failing to qualify for the Survivor Series, I mean, pray for the pair of them, honestly. It's not on. Like, we can joke about the booking. We, as analysts, are allowed to criticise when things are awful. But a month ago, you had one guy that had a locked-in title shot and another guy that, if he wasn't going to be in a successful tag team, was going to get a breakup feud out of it.
Mm.
It's a big couple of weeks for this Otis character to let you know if these two guys are in real trouble.
Just looking at the rest of the roster for SmackDown, maybe you could put, you could, I suppose, especially with his history with Kevin Owens, toying Alistair Black in there. Right move. And it's almost a given, isn't it, with the team of Keith Lee and Braun Strowman on Raw, that the freak Lars Sullivan may be getting in there just to tick a box for Vince McMahon.
Yeah, as I've mentioned a few times now, I await the day that he makes some scabby blue trunks instead of scabby red ones to upgrade his act. Yeah, Lars Sullivan, we often, when we're talking about something we really like in wrestling, use the phrase inevitability. I'm thinking of Shayna Baszler in the Elimination Chamber. As just an example off the top of my head, I'm thinking of, I don't know, Lance Archer in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Lars Sullivan, getting a push, getting a role, getting a prominent spot is an inevitability. If you didn't think it when he came back from his injury, if you didn't think it when days after returning, yet more scandal, like, took over all the conversation about him, you need to think it after last week's horrendous, and I mean horrendous vignette that was word for word scripted by Vince McMahon. That is not a scoop that we've taken from one of the main like dirt sheets or anything like that, or from Dave Meltzer himself. That is something I'm telling you as fact, because just listen to it. I've watched enough Vince McMahon in my life to know that. The story of his school life and all the things that made him the way he were, full of alliteration, full of enunciation, full of all the things from a 50s television show that Vince McMahon still believes, topical current affairs references. This was Mingan, this was McMahon, and Lars Sullivan is a project.
Ironically, that was the moment on last week's SmackDown where, for me, the laughing stopped and the screaming started. Having said that, I would prefer another full-length sit-down interview with Lars Sullivan than anything else to do with Murphy and the Mysterios, in particular, Aaliyah Mysterio. Like, who's enjoying this? It's just weird, isn't it?
Right, so there's two ways to try and watch this. One is to just look on in horror as a man in his 30s next on with a 19-year-old. And we're not really supposed to think about the age. We're supposed to think about the fact that Murphy has done horrible things to her family. We're being asked outright to take that as the story, but it's weird. You were right. It's so, so weird. The age range is illegal, but let's not get bogged down in that because it doesn't necessarily make it right. And in this of all years, wrestling's relationship with matters of consent, matters of age, all sorts of things like that, you know, I've never been more highlighted. So it's a huge, huge problem with that. However, if you are able to separate that, bearing in mind that legally speaking, this is technically fine, I am kind of into how ridiculous this story is. I just really don't want to see the necking. I don't want to see Murphy and Aaliyah kissing. I don't like the implications of their relationship at all. However, I'm becoming a bit of a sucker for Dominic Mysterio's hideous acting. And I think I quite like Seth Rollins as the devil on everybody's shoulder. There was a way in which he stood back and pissed himself at the whole thing. He's like, hang on, So he's seeing your daughter, and I took out your eye, but nobody's coming for me anymore. Like, I quite like him as the rabble-rousing puppet master of this stupid thing. This stupid, stupid thing. Like, when I see Seth laughing at the story, I see him laughing at a guy that Murphy has lost focus on the fact that he hated Seth because he's interested in, like, courting Aaliyah. And I see Seth looking at the Mysterios and thinking, they're not even pissed off at me anymore. This is great. Like, the character suddenly feels above the story in a way that I'm quite enjoying. I'm quite amused by that. Seth, do we need to consider Seth a member of Team SmackDown? A guy that just like, come on, guys. I'm the Monday night. I'm on SmackDown now. Like, he gets nice custom-made gear made. He'd look good in blue. But yeah, I quite like, I feel like I'm sat with Seth laughing at the whole thing. And there are elements of it as a result that I really enjoy because they're so awful. It's bad movie night. Some of the Rollins family, Mysterio family, Rollins, Murphy stuff has remained bad movie night for me. On SmackDown, it breathes more than it did on Raw. You get one segment, Seth speaks a lot quicker and they're out of there. It's not a 4-segment long Seth Rollins thing. It's Phil and Gareth again, man. They get the better version of the thing we had to suffer through. Like, we had to do all the work. It wasn't about, like, we had to get them riding the bike. We had to get them on the bike. We had to take the stabilizers off. We had to do all that sort of stuff. And then Phil and Gareth just get to take them out on lovely, nice countryside bike rides. That's what's happened here.
Bastards. I'm not a fan of this. I mean, we weren't a fan of it, like you say, on Raw. And, you know, it's just... I've no investment in it whatsoever. Putting to one side the whole, like you say, 30-something-year-old and 19-year-old. If you're fine with that, that's up to you. But I don't care. I have no investment in it, it's the one thing I'd say. And I suppose I had to sit through the sit down interview with the freak. I'd sit through that because I just wanted to know what was going on. But the moment Rollins came out and they were pushing and shoving and arguing and, oh, Dad, but I love him. That's the only thing I really skip on SmackDown, I have to say.
I got just one more thing to add on this. I was full of praise for how WWE... I mean, it's the best story of this year and it's probably the best story of the last 5 years, Sasha versus Bayley in this company. Not least because it started so early in the year and they managed to get to Hell in a Cell and provide the proper payoff. So that's, you know, getting on about 8 or 9 months of a story really well told and fairly carefully plotted and like immaculately performed. You know, we're starting to hit those numbers for this and I have none of the same compliments and qualifiers. I checked and if I'm not mistaken, and please anyone correct me, or you even correct me if you remember this because we've watched a lot of Raw, Seth assaulted Ray the night after he lost to Drew. Is that right?
Yeah.
He came out and he was looking all deflated and bedraggled and the gag was, oh, he's just found out he's going to be a dad. That's accurate. But the reality was it's because he'd lost to Drew and he was a bit broken up by his defeat and all that sort of stuff. That was at Backlash, which was June. So it was the night after Backlash, middle of June. So from the middle of June, we're still here. And this isn't the story that was carefully plotted. This didn't feature tag title wins. This didn't feature nearly turns. This didn't feature like aching teases. None of this stuff. Like by July, he was ripping his eye out. like in a month, he was ripping his eye out. By August, he was beating up the sun. Like they've done all of it, loads of it, every bit of it. And yet here we are. We're still here. It's still happening. It's November. That has to come up. Like, we're probably going to get to TLC with a version of this as well.
And they're going to try and do a callback spot in the Rumble, and I'm not going to care.
Yeah, they will touch this, yeah. Oh, we see. We know how much these two hate each other. Yeah, we do, but we don't care about it. Yeah,
exactly. But aside from that, a great episode of SmackDown to look forward to. Do let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, of course. And watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, including, as we alluded to, Phil and Gareth's review of SmackDown tomorrow and myself and Michael Sidgwick sitting down to preview Full Gear, which is going on Saturday night for AEW. We'll be doing a live stream on our YouTube channel for that and then me and Michael Hamflett in the, well, I was going to say small hours,
morning on Sunday.
Just, God damn it, man. Like, not to sort of derail the SmackDown podcast with a bit of AEW talk, but thank God it's probably going to be John Moxley going on last day. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we'll be reviewing that on Sunday. So subscribe to What Culture Wrestling to make sure you get that one. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. Enjoy the show tonight. My thanks to Michael Hampler. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.